Thank you so much, BBS, for making it possible for us to be heard worldwide on the internet. Welcome to you all. This is usually a conference call. We have a bunch of people on the phone line. We were just discussing a topic regarding asthma. I hope you guys have all the information shared who are talking about it. If not, just send an email to Win, and he will connect you guys together. So here we are, Monday evening. This is August the 7th, 2017. I know that Terry just came on board. Good evening to you, Terry Brown.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here again. How are you?
Good.
All right. Are we
recording? Are we recording now?
Not recording yet, no. Not on our own end. We are live on BBS.
Okay.
Are you ready, Win?
Did you get my email today?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay. All right. I sent it just because of you. It was just a simple one. But I want to ask you guys to keep your local sound quiet because we are going to have a discussion on Kimberly. Okay?
And open mic.
The event we did yesterday. And I thought it would be a really good idea, and I'll share with you some things from my perspective,
shall we record this, Rin?
Start the recording. Yeah, thank you.
This conference is being recorded.
This is August 7th, 2017. Win and Terry in Sedona. Terry, you're there? Hello, Terry. Hello. And everybody, you're there? Okay.
Yeah.
So, how many of you guys were on the call we did yesterday?
I was.
Yeah.
How many were not?
Not me.
I just did the replay, but how long is the replay good for?
I was not on the call yesterday.
It might be good forever.
Okay, so it doesn't end after a week or something.
Unless I end it, you know. Kimberly, well, okay. Just let me start off with some comments, okay? Well, let me ask you guys some questions. Anyone want to give a reaction? Reaction.
I enjoyed listening to Kimberly. Felt some good energy, but I didn't like this Alan. It was a big advertisement for the event in New York City. It took up a lot of time. I was a little disappointed with that.
Right.
These other people. We didn't expect all these other people to be on it. You know, you said it would be you and Terry and Kimberly. So,
right.
There was a lot going on there. So I was a little disappointed. But otherwise,
Did you like the testimonials from the couple people?
Yeah, that was very good.
Because the only other person on was Alan.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
In any case, anyone else want to comment?
I liked it. I felt there was healing energy on the call.
Mm-hmm.
It was overall a great experience for me, yes.
Who was that talking?
Ted Minderhout.
Oh, I know you, the person before you.
It was Helen.
Helen, okay. And anyone else have a comment?
Well, I thought Alan was good because he kind of helped neutralize the comment between you and Kimberly about weirdness.
Oh, I got in big trouble for that one.
Well, she has low blood sugar, and even though she said she likes being weird, she didn't like you saying it. But that has to do with her brain and her low blood sugar. So that's to be expected. Her words can change. Her input of the words can change at any time. So that's not just... But he was there at least to help neutralize it a little bit. And it's good that I think the advertisement was good so that more people could... I believe what I heard was they were doing a mass healing in New York. So if they can do that and other people can learn to do the hands-on stuff while she is there, one can heal more people to get the word out. And maybe more of them will come on board for the, you know, evening one that we do every night for the whole planet healing.
Okay. Anyone else?
I believe that her giggles are a medicine.
You want a tape of her giggles, right?
Yes.
I don't know if I should tell her that.
It's true. They are energetic.
Yeah. You know, to share with you in getting to know Kimberly, there are, like, two aspects to her. And on one side, she's a fragile and vulnerable woman. And on the other side, she is a semi.
Yes.
A tractor trailer. And when she starts working, it's kind of like, look out. Right? Now. Thank you. Did you guys notice that?
Yes.
Yeah. And I imagine that, you know, she's tapped into a group on the other side where at least one of them is a tractor trailer. And when she gets in front of the public, that takes over. And I'm not in the least bit judging anything. I'm just, it's her process. It's her way to get the energy going. And I get the energy going in a totally different way. And I have learned, and I have to learn this, to realize that the more human I was, the easier I could do this, and the more access to the Elohim I could create. Now, Kimberly has some similar aspects in the tractor trailer aspect as Daphne. Can you see that, Hayes?
Yes, in a way, yes.
Yeah,
I didn't think of that myself. Well, yeah, totally.
Daphne is like a tractor trailer, and when she channels, it's like a tractor trailer coming in. That is like, she takes a lot of authority when she would do it. And it's totally different than the way Terry brings the energy in, which is more, I could say more loving.
Angelic.
Angelic, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because people who channel, people who do things, their human track comes through. So Daphne, I don't know Kimberly's track, although I have been meeting some of her guides, and I know one of her guides is a tractor trailer, okay? So it was like we were doing a dress rehearsal. And at the end of it, really, Terry and I did not, we were anticipating bringing in the Elohim, having a message for the group, and we couldn't do it. I mean, it would have felt like it would be intrusive. Mm-hmm. It was like the energy that Kimberly was creating, it seemed anticlimactic to have that kind of presentation, and the Elohim come in, soft and gentle, through Terry. And it was through nobody's fault, and it was just that this was kind of like a live dress rehearsal, because I didn't know how to structure it, and also I didn't know how to frame Kimberly in the circumstance, because the Kimberly that I would talk to is not the same Kimberly that comes through when she's doing the healing. So it was a challenge for me. In general, we got really, really, really good responses from it, okay? And people were quite touched. And, of course, Kimberly doing one of her scans live was really interesting. How did you guys respond to the scan that she did?
You mean for ourselves, how we felt?
Well, while we were listening, she was scanning that guy, Joe.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was doing her angel talk. And, you know, she was doing whatever she does when she does that, and going through his body and pointing out places that were weak in him live, okay? And how did you guys respond to that?
I thought it was very educational.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive. I could do that.
Anyone else? Did any of you respond to it negatively? Listening to it, what's going on here?
No, there was no negative. This is Jane. I didn't feel it negativity. It's just that I had watched all her YouTubes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very similar to all the YouTubes that I had seen.
I see. Okay. Yeah, because that's what she does publicly in front of people. And I mean, it's very bold. You know, if you heard her on the call and you see her publicly, you know, mm-hmm. she stands in front of the room and she is like totally in control of every moment, you know? And she's very conscious of wanting to make a good impression. She wants to be and should be recognized. You know, she's an example, a really good example of spirit working in this realm and who is creating miracles for many of the people she works on. And I was thinking if we do something like that again, that Terry and I should go on totally by ourselves for the first hour to an hour and a half, mm-hmm. and then bring Kimberly on. Because once she's on, it's hard to follow her. Like, we'll be an opening act. So
you know what I really noticed? You know, I think it was a huge experiment yesterday. I think it was very successful, mm-hmm. not as you planned, but I have noticed that when for her to be present with a group, she requires a lot of space. She mm-hmm. needs own space. And like you're saying, that will be a great idea, I think, that you first do the two of you a call and that she connects, mm-hmm. you know, midway.
Yeah. See, she's been on our conference calls when we were able to have a repartee back and forth. But in another situation, she invited people in her group, and I invited people in my group. Now, that's such a big deal, because now you have people that like you, already like you, and that are coming to hear you, and they're not coming to hear me, and the people in my group are coming to hear Kimberly, because they've heard me over and over again, except the people in her group haven't heard me. But I couldn't get enough traction to present myself, you know? So at the end of the call, I was a little frustrated. You know, I realized at a certain point it was not going to be appropriate to do something, that I couldn't create a group energy. And, you know, for you guys, we go into the group energy so easily. But when you have new people on the line, which was the case, then I don't know how to do that without telling my story and being personable, or share more about the Elohim, and then create an ambience where people are really interested, and then we can channel, you know? But if I don't do that, even the Elohim, believe it or not, before the call, Terry was telling me, the Elohim don't know what to say. It's like, I said, tell them, we'll ask them some questions, you know? But for someone that doesn't connect to the group energy, it will sound shallow, you know? It's not like, we are the Elohim, the almighty gods of the universe, and we are so delighted to have you here listening to us now. They don't ever do that, you know? And some people would expect that, you know? They would. Years ago, we were doing an event in Sedona, and there were a few fairly well-to-do people, really well-to-do people, that came here especially for that event, because one of them had heard tapes of Daphne, or had seen Daphne, I can't remember. And then the event was okay, but the people that came to the event when Terry channeled, they were really disappointed because they didn't get, we are the Elohim. and then Terry is much better channel now, much more confident than she was then. But when she was channeling, she would say things like, wait a minute, and there would be dead silence for a while. And then she'd say the next thing, and then she'd say, wait a minute. And to somebody that is seeing that for the first time, they think it looks like she's making it up, okay? She's thinking of what to say next. So it's very interesting how it works. And Terry is doing an awesome job now. And I've learned to really trust her channelings, as probably most of you have, because you wouldn't be here at this point if that wasn't so. But after the event, I wasn't sure if we could figure out how to work together. I wasn't sure if Kimberly was going to talk to me again, you know? And so...
When?
Yeah.
When? Can you hear
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think I was on mute before or something like that, and I wasn't able to speak. But what I was thinking afterwards was what would be helpful, I think, would... It seemed like you had different expectations. Does that make sense? And
me and Kimberly?
Yeah, well, yeah. Kimberly had certain expectations, and it kind of... I thought it would be helpful if next time... the three of you sat down and did a conference call and kind of hashed out what the schedule would be and what the format would be, and you know, and then when you got actually on the conference call, there wouldn't be any surprises. I just felt like Kimberly was tense because it wasn't going the way she had expected it or something. And I feel mm-hmm. like that is the primary, with marriages, with friendships, et cetera, when relationships go south, it's usually, I think, because the two people or however many people are involved have different expectations. And then when they don't get what they expect, they feel a kind of a sense of betrayal. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? And so
yeah, but here's the problem with that, okay? With what you're saying, I'm not just dealing with Kimberly; I'm yeah. dealing with her team, and I could talk. We could talk in a group, Terry, I, and Kimberly, and you know, one thing about me is that one of the things that makes what I do work is my constant ability to be spontaneous. And if things are rigid, then I lose the ability to bring the group together, to bring the energy together. And it's like, you know, having gone through that experience, because it's different on a conference call. She's never done a conference call before. I'm doing conference calls all the time, and I have learned to be totally transparent and myself on these calls, and it brings the energies together because that gives permission for everybody else to be that way. Now, Kimberly, when she does things, she does them like a tractor trailer. That's her nature, or the nature of the gestalt of herself and the group that's working through her. And she has to do that to compose herself. She doesn't come from the small Kimberly when she's doing it. She's coming from the big Kimberly, and she's doing it on a conference call, and she's doing it with me. So it's like we had that experience, and it was challenging for both of us. It got us points of awkwardness. But in spite of it, we touched a lot of people. And if we do it again, we'd be in a much better position to talk about it beforehand and arrange a format, okay? Because I need a space where I can just totally be myself and spontaneous and win over the people that are hearing me for the first time. And that if I do that, then we can bring the Elohim in. And I have got to move the energy so that the people that came there that were anticipating, you know, they came there because of Kimberly, okay? I have to reach those people in some way, shape, or form. And usually, if I just start talking, I pick up on the vibes, and I bring it up so that everyone feels a connection. And then, if we do a Elohim channeling, it'll fit right in. And for me, if I'm going to continue doing these, I have to make it work, all right? So that I'm doing, you know, this is kind of a mandate. When you realize what you're doing, you're not just acting. When you realize what you're doing, and when somebody like me, and even Terry, when we realize what we're doing, and we know what we're doing has the potential to not just lift the spirits of people, but maybe change their path, change their whole life, because I know we've done that for a lot of people, then there's all those people out there that haven't discovered us whose lives can change as a result of the connection. Now, Kimberly has the same mandate. She's not coming from her ego. She knows she can change people's lives. And she, you know, people that have had these healings from her in particular just totally are devoted, okay? I mean, from their point of view, she saved their life, you know? So, and that makes a very solemn, sacred connection. And, you know, it's probably, you know, many of them come from Christian backgrounds. And I'm concerned my work, see, she keeps her vocabulary fairly simple, like Holy Spirit and God, okay? And that my vocabulary is not that simple. And if you have somebody that comes for healing and goes to church every Sunday, I could screw it all up. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my challenge in that situation is to say whatever I say in such a way that somebody that is listening that comes from that kind of dispensation doesn't get freaked out. Because Kimberly's already had people that are saying she's demonic, you know? Like what I'm saying to you guys about having guides on the other side, she's kind of careful about saying that because she's already had the experience of negative feedback from people calling her satanic, and that's hurtful to her, okay? It hurts her to be interpreted that way. So that's part of the challenge of being in front of people that she attracts. Now, in my case, I've had many, many Christians discover us, and they've come to the conclusion that, I mean, I got that, I'm trying to remember emails. Like, it's put together religion from a higher aspect, you know? But if somebody is still actively in their religion and believing Christ is their Savior, and I start talking, I have to talk in such a way that I don't violate them. part of their belief system until they start to trust me, okay? And then they may become more open, and they may not. But nonetheless, in the first public presentation, I shouldn't be anywhere near as familiar as I am with you who keep coming to our conference calls, you know? That is the challenge. And, you know, I'm trying to meet the challenge, and it's still under construction, you know? It's like I can't totally just start off saying, talking in the vocabulary of Kimberly. But I have to be careful about my vocabulary so I don't get her people pissed off. Mm-hmm. Follow?
Yes.
That's the challenge. So it just has to evolve.
This is May from California. I have a comment.
Yes.
I did notice that when Kimberly is bringing in her team, she has a hard time letting you know that her health is failing. And so maybe if you do something short in the beginning about you and Terry, and then follow her lead based on what her health is doing, because I don't know who's on the other side feeding her the proper nutrition either before, during, or after her channeling. And so just like with Terry, you know, channelers don't always pay attention to, you know, what their body, physical body's doing and what the energy is doing on the physical body. So we now know she has a blood sugar problem. Okay, so that, and she was trying to tell you that, but I don't think you were aware of that. And so it's good that you're malleable, but also maybe because she's only good for a couple of hours, even if she doesn't do the channeling. But as soon as she does the channeling, her body starts to crash. And so maybe after the channeling, you guys can say something that, you know, you if you want to do your prayer together, that would be good. And then you can have people say, you know, if there's any questions, you know, Kimberly's going to go and rest. And if anybody wants to stay and listen to the wind story and talk to the Elohim, or the Raw group or the Raw On group, you'll have a one-hour session or however long, you know, afterwards. And then that way Kimberly can go back, take her nutrition, and if she wants to join in later, which she may do so, you know, she can come on in later and just let her know that. She needs to know that, because I could hear in her voice that she wasn't sure if anybody was caring that she was faltering.
Mm-hmm. Did she talk about her blood sugar on the call?
Yes, well, not in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned it, yeah, that she was tired.
Yeah.
When she was mentioning, when somebody, I haven't dealt with a lot of channelers before. But
all callers are unmuted.
Are having low blood sugar, and if they're shy, because on one aspect, she's very, very shy. On the other aspect, when the channeling comes in, she's, like you say, a semi-truck. And so her shyness part couldn't express that she was faltering, but she was talking about, you could hear the energy change in her voice. She was commenting about how sick she was feeling, how she was getting a headache, and how she wasn't doing very well, and she wanted to defer everything to you because she was starting to falter.
She needs a manager.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm saying I don't know if there's anybody feeding her food before, during, and after. But if she doesn't, and Wynn can work around that and talk to her about that, that here once again, if you know, depending upon, you know, she, as Wynn says, you may want to come in and an hour before and then have her do her thing and then stay another hour later. And then she can come back in and join when she's feeling better.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you did well, Wynn, under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did.
It was a good process.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know any of this was going on, you know? So, we did well being professional, so it was not on the surface of what was going on. And I'm sure I could have done better, but I did the best.
Always
the next time.
Best I could. So great to have testimonial of Frankie Sandoval.
Oh, yeah. And Kimberly was amazing that I got him to come on the show, you know?
Me too.
And but I interviewed him. You know, she's got all these people, and some of them, there's other people that are have some worldly prestige that she's worked with. You know, she lives in L.A., and sooner or later, she's going to work with some really big people in L.A. They're going to find her. And
Wynn, I have a question regarding that Frankie interview.
Yeah.
Where is that? Is that on the archives in the Spirit Channel?
On the emails I sent out, one of them said World Series pitcher talks about his session with Kimberly.
Okay, I'll go check it out. Thanks.
So go link it out, yeah. And then he came on the call and gave a testimonial, and he broke down crying on the call, you know? But he's one of those guys that comes from a traditional Christian background, okay? And that, I don't know how he responded. I didn't go too far off the wall on the call. So, but I don't know how he responded to me, okay? And, Terry, I got to encourage you to put your 2 cents in. Come on. Are you unmuted?
Yeah, I unmuted myself. Well, I was very interested in the scan, and she got the energy going, and it would have been anticlimactic for us to come in, but the Elohim had a short message which would have fit in, but everything was going so fast, I didn't stop and bring it in. But when recorded it afterwards, and maybe we'll send it out.
Yeah, we're going to send, since we advertised, we're going to bring an Elohim message in. I'm going to send it out to everyone that was registered for the call. And
yeah.
You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hang on a second. Well, let me see here. Okay. Where is it? You know what? I think while we're talking, I'll just upload it. That way you'll hear a good version of it.
Okay. Yeah, I was very, very interested in the scan and how she did the scan. And it's amazing that she can do it from a photograph. It has to be a current photograph. It can't be old because energies change day by day. I know that one person sent in his picture, and he said that if we don't get to do it, that he will get in touch with her, and he will ask her to do it, to pay for it, a session.
I was thinking that maybe we'll do another short call for not too much money for everyone that would like a scam, you know.
I don't know. Maybe everybody would like one, and so I think we have to limit
Well,
I mean,
how many of you on this line would like a scam?
I would.
I would.
Sure.
I mean, if it costs like $15 or $20, would you do it?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, but how much could she handle, though?
Right.
Well, let's see. Here's the Elohim comment.
This is August 7th, 2017, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And we are in a communication right now with what identifies itself to be the Council of Elohim in collaboration with the Ra Group. And we did a public conference call yesterday with Kimberly, and I defer to Kimberly to let her take charge of the call, and we're in communication with our sources, and they had something to say that we never got around to putting them up. So Terry, speaking through Terry, and I'm just going to turn it over to them. This will probably be just very brief. Here we go.
Thank you. We are delighted with the work that Kimberly is doing. There are parallels between our Reverend Hopes and what Kimberly is bringing through. The parallels are that we have the goal of bringing the love light from the higher realms, the God realm, into the third density to bring love that has been so missing into your realm so that you know or can have the opportunity to learn that you are loved and you are not alone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That wasn't a mistake when they said the third density. They were commenting and emphasizing that it was dense.
Testing. Can you hear me, Terry?
Yeah.
You can hear me. Okay, I don't see myself.
Yeah.
I don't see myself on the console. Okay.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I mean, the Elohim are just so diplomatic and, you know, so wanting her to feel comfortable with the situation and that she's honored. You know, I think something about the people feel about the Elohim or these really higher sources is when they're confronted with it for the first time, it's a little scary because people have these parts of themselves that they're ashamed of or distortions. And they're gonna see my distortions, and oh my God, I don't want them to see it, you know.
Allison,
do you ever? What? Who's screaming?
It sounded like BBS.
Nope, not us.
Okay. I guess I was talking about distortions, and I woke them up. In any case, did you guys ever feel that? Any of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for being honest. Okay.
That's not easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it's amazing that that does not happen at all. In other words, they do not judge you. They know we all have distortions, okay? And we're in 3D, and they're just available to hold the energy so we can lift up. But people think that. So, you know, I told Kimberly, let's ask some questions to the Elohim so she can get comfortable with our sources. But she hasn't done it yet, you know. Maybe Kimberly, Terry, and I will be on a line, and she'll do it. And it will help her feel more comfortable. Like, you know, people think someone else is going to come in like they come in. Because she comes in like a tractor trailer, maybe she thinks the Elohim's going to come in like a tractor trailer. That would be a natural thing for her to feel. And so, in any case.
Yeah, it was interesting because once when we were in Las Vegas and they were bringing in all these channeling things like Chief Agaboo, wow, yeah, ooh, you know, and then they asked the Elohim to come in, and the Elohim...
oh, yeah, that was funny, you know.
Yeah.
That was a good story. I was on a TV show, an internet TV show, by a guy by the name of Steve Rother.
Yeah,
Steve Rother was a channel. And it was like, I was talking about my book, and then Terry was sitting in the audience, and I started talking about channeling and Terry, and they called Terry up. And fear ran through her heart, as I recall.
Yeah, when we first got there, you know, they were there with a mic and said, let us outfit you with a mic, and you're going to be on. And I said, no, I don't want to be on. And then they got me because in the middle of the program, they said, okay, come on up.
And so then the host, the woman who was doing the interviewing, was really intrigued with us. And she had put together a party at her house for us. She catered it. And she invited her New Agey friends over. So when we got there, we went up into her meditation room with all her friends. And all her friends had various talents of, you know, one was an Indian shaman, one channeled Archangel Michael, I can't remember. So what she did was she went around the room and she went to each person, and that person was going to do what what they did. So the Indian was going, like that. And then there was a message from Archangel Michael. Everyone had a message. And after she went around the room, she looked at Terry and I, and she said, okay, we're ready for the Elohim. I looked at Terry, and she looked like a deer with the headlights, right? And so finally she said, they actually gave a message, and their message was, there's too many other energies in the room, and there's no room for us.
And it was so soft-spoken, and after all that loud chanting and everything else, they were, their words would just be lost.
Yeah. But it was like, it was the first time I started to understand why, most people that do something like that have some kind of ego attachment to it. Most, not all. And their egos really don't want the Elohim present on an unconscious level because they don't want anything that big to outshine them. That's how they perceive it. So I was just laughing. We got to go, right?
Yep.
Well, okay. Well, let's go. Thank you all for listening and sharing and your input. And we'll see you in a minute.